Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Niklas Holmgren här. Välkommen till Holmgren möter. Den här veckan ska vi prova ett litet experiment, något vi inte gjort förut, nämligen ett Holmgren möter på engelska. Och det är inte med vem som helst som vi inleder, utan med The Gadguden, vilket är hans smeknamn bland de röda på Merseyside. Robbie Fowler, en sann Liverpool-hjälte som minns förresten alla sina mål i Liverpool-tröjan. Hör Robbie Fowler berätta om sin brokiga karriär i denna vecka av Holmgren möter. Vill du komma i kontakt med mig, ha synpunkter, till exempel om poddar på engelska, tips med mera, går det bra att nå mig på Twitter, Niklas_Holmgren, eller hemsidan niklasholmgren.nu, eller Facebook, Holmgren möter. Robbie Fowler ska det handla om nu. Han som förresten gjorde ett äkta hattrick mot Arsenal på 4 minuter och 33 sekunder 1994. God lyssning. Robert Bernard Fowler, born the 9th of April 1975 in Liverpool. Welcome to Stockholm, Robbie.
Thank you very much, Nicholas. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you said here. I don't think I've been here, you said, before.
No, you know when you get off a plane and you normally think, I've been here. And I've no doubt I've been to Sweden many times, but, you know, I don't think I've ever been to Stockholm. And, I mean, I got off the plane last night and I was driving through the city and I'm thinking, I've never been here. And so this is the first, and quite excited actually. It's a lovely place, lovely, lovely place.
When you played, did you know that English football was so huge in Scandinavia?
I knew it was huge. I think obviously forgive me for saying this, but I mean I've been to Norway many, many times, and I mean I know how passionate the Norwegian fans are, and everyone keeps telling me that, you know, the Swedish Liverpool supporters are up there with the Norwegians. So it's Liverpool's a massive club, and no matter where you go, you know, in Europe, all over the world, I mean, we have got some support, and it doesn't surprise me that we've got, you know, many, many fans in Sweden as well.
You were out with Pontus Kåmark, the former Leicester City player last night. He's not from Stockholm. So
no, he's Gothenburg.
He's from Västerås, but he lives in Gothenburg. Yeah.
Well, he was telling me how much of a nice place it was over. We had a few little drinks. Not much, if I'm being honest. But he's a lovely man, and obviously I remember him when he was playing at Leicester a long, long time ago. Well, I'm saying a long time. It was a long time ago I played as well. But we caught up. You know, we had a good little chat, and we spoke about many things. So he's a lovely fellow.
Yeah, you never played in Sweden with the national team or in Liverpool. Did you go to Gothenburg? Do you remember that? Or
I really cannot think off the top of my head. I must have been to Sweden. You know, there's, I mean, I've been all over the world. You know, with Liverpool and all over Europe, but I must have been here, but you know, I can't remember. I cannot remember being here, and I think that's a little bit sad, isn't it, that I can't remember, because But you know what, I'm here now. So I'm here now. So yeah, you know, and you know what, I will definitely come back, because it's a lovely, lovely place. And yeah, I'll definitely come back.
This time of year starts to get nice now for half a year, then it's getting dark. growing up in Liverpool, it's a tough city.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Been through tough times. How was it growing up there in the 70s, 80s?
Well, I mean, I was born in 75, and I think, Liverpool's got a lot of unemployment, you know, unemployed people, and, you know, my family was not well off, you know, so we all had to, you know, work hard for what we had. You know, my mum and dad, you know, they worked hard to get me, you know, football boots, so, you know, I was always grateful for that, and, but that was one thing with the Liverpool people, you know, they go out and work, and, you know, they try their best, and, you know, they give it their all, and, you know, thankfully I took that onto the football pitch with me. You know, I always tried my best, I always give it my all, and, you know, I think I'm a polite lad as well, so, you know, I was brought up properly, you know, I was brought up with, you know, to respect and, you know, and honour people, and you know, that's the way I've always continued to be. So yeah, it was difficult, but you know I'm not the only one who's had a bit of a, you know, an hard upbringing, if you like, because there's many people, not just in Liverpool, but, you know, many places in England, you know, I'm sure there's many places in Sweden as well.
What did your parents work with?
What's that, sorry?
What did your parents work with?
Well, my dad, you know, my mum never worked. You know, my dad was, he worked on the maintenance on the railways. And, you know, and to be fair, he's done well, because, as I said, because there's many people unemployed. So my dad done well to get a job. But, you know, in Liverpool we have the dole, and there must be an equivalent over here where, you know, obviously you're getting money off the government, you know, and for a large portion of my young life, my dad was doing that as well. So you know, it was only probably when I was a little bit older that he started working for the railway.
The docks were closing, and yeah. It was a really, really tough time.
It was, and probably Liverpool was, you know, Liverpool probably struggled more than most cities, if I'm being honest, because of the docks. I think, I mean, look, we've all been to Liverpool, and, you know, we know where it is and where it's situated, and I mean, the docks was a big part of Liverpool. You know, you're bringing in, you know, many things from overseas, from Liverpool. Then suddenly the docks was closed, and you know, a lot more people lost their jobs. So you know, I think it hit the city really, really hard.
For me, coming to Liverpool once in a while and go to Anfield and stay in the city centre, it feels like it's getting fresher and more modern.
Yes, you know what? I mean, I think in 2008, I think, you know, we had the, you know, European Capital of Culture, and we spent a lot of money. So I think if you went to Liverpool in, you know, early 2000, you know, the 80s, 90s, and then suddenly you never went for 20 years, you would see a massive change. You know, I think Liverpool has spent a lot of money in doing the city up, and to be fair, it looks unbelievable now to what it was. It is a fantastic place, and, you know, outside of London, I think we've got the most listed buildings. So the heritage and the history and traditions of the Liverpool people is a real eye opener. You know, it is a fantastic place.
You have your football and you have your music.
Well, look, I think everyone probably remembers there's a little band there, you know, the Beatles. not too many people talk about them in Liverpool. But look, I mean, Liverpool is massively famous for them, and obviously the football as well. It is a city that, you know, other than the music, you know, there's nothing really else other than football and music. And, you know, thankfully we've had a great band in the Beatles to show everyone what the you know, the Liverpool accent's like, and you know, and obviously the history and traditions of the football club. Look, I don't need to tell people what that's like, because that is unbelievable as well. So you know, we are famous for many, many things, but you know, music and football is the big one.
Is there a special Liverpool mentality? you think?
You know what, I think it is. I think Liverpool, if you look at the map of England and you see Liverpool, it's a little bit of a difficult place to get to, actually, because you know you're straight down the centre of England. You've got the big motorway. Manchester's just off the M6, but Liverpool, you need to actually be going to Liverpool. You know, you can't pass Liverpool. So that's probably one of the things that sort of gets me with Liverpool. I mean, look, you walk around there of a weekend, and look, the amount of tourists you see is frightening. It is a great place, and that's because they're not passing through. They're in Liverpool because they want to be in Liverpool, not because they're passing through because they need to go somewhere else. The geography's it's good.
When you grew up, were you playing on the streets, football on the streets? And how did it look like when you youngster of the 70s grew up?
Well, you know what? I mean, it was, I think it's special. I think, look, we all know there was not many football pitches. Where I lived, I was quite fortunate. There was just a grass field just opposite where I lived. So I was playing football all the time. But I was always playing with older kids. Now, that's probably benefited me as a player because, you know, we lived in Masonettes. Now, I think Masonettes is obviously basically houses on top of houses, really. And we had a great load of kids. A lot of them were a lot older than me. So I probably learnt my football the tough way, playing against, older and better players. And that probably made me become a better player because I knew I had to be that little bit better because I was always little, I was always skinny, I was always a small one. So, you know, it probably made me the player I was. And we all the time we were across on the field playing football, and as a kid, I think everyone loves the upbringing, and if you could probably go back to it, I think we would probably all go back to our childhood because there's no better time.
When did you feel that you have that gift, that talent that you... I mean, the Liverpool fans call you God.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't go around calling myself it, so I will. But you know what? I never did. I knew I was obviously talented and, I worked hard at my football. I was forever practicing, and that is the big thing with kids now. I think in this day and age, kids have got the PlayStations, the Xboxes, all the handheld video games, mobile phone. We never had none of that, and we were forever playing football. And I think that's gone a little bit from the kids now because they probably don't have the love and the hunger that we once had. And that was the only thing I had. I carried a football around with me everywhere, and that's all I ever wanted to be. So I worked hard at becoming a football player, and there was many, many sacrifices, and I had to dedicate a large portion of my life to becoming this football player. So look, I'm not telling you to any different than what any football player will tell you. We all had friends growing up, and then suddenly you get to an age where suddenly you want to go out more with your friends, girls come on the scene, and don't get me wrong, when I was growing up I had a few girlfriends, but I was more interested in football, and that was the big point of my life. I wanted to be a football player, and I achieved it, but it was through a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication.
How did Robbie Fowler like school?
Yeah, I was good in school. As I said before, I was brought up properly with my mum and my father, and I think education's I think is massive. And I think where I probably failed in school is it's nothing to do with my mum or my dad. I think when I got a little bit older, before I left school, I was guaranteed a job at Liverpool, so I had a 1 year YTS, which is an apprenticeship, and a 3 year professional contract. So my school suffered then, because I really weren't interested, because I knew, I had this job, I knew where I wanted to be, and I was in all the top groups in school, but once I had this football job, my schooling suffered. So that was probably a regret, if you like, because I never finished school, but thankfully I went on to have a good career, because if you don't have a good career and you don't have an education, then you've not got a lot, have you? So thankfully I done well in my football.
What was your favourite subject in school?
Well, obviously, being a sport mad, you know, I mean, I love PE. I loved PE. You know, anything that, you know, involves, and it wasn't just football. You know, all sports. You know, athletics. You know, cross country, and that's basically what I was. And we done a lot of football in school, but we done a lot of athletics as well. And you know, admittedly, when I got a little bit older, I lost a lot of my pace. But I was quite quick in school, and the athletics was a big big part of PE in school.
You wanted to be a footballer. You knew you're going to be a footballer. But if not, what job do you think you're going to?
You know what? I wouldn't have a clue. I mean, I get asked this a lot actually, and I really don't know how to answer it because you know, I think I'm proof to, you know, if you want something and you know you've got the dedication and the will and the and the power, if you like, to go out and try and, you know, sort your own destiny out, then you know, I think I'm a classic example, because I mean, I didn't want to do nothing else. I always wanted to play football. So obviously, if it wasn't playing football, or I didn't play football, then I mean, I reckon I would have been. I reckon I would have been involved in something sporty. Now, to what extent, I don't know.
I read that you, growing up, was an Everton supporter.
Yes, yeah.
Tell us.
well, look, I think probably as every listener is aware of, I think Liverpool has got two teams, you know, Everton and Liverpool, and there's a lot of families who support both teams, and, you know, my dad's side of the family were all Liverpool fans, and my mum's side of the family were all Everton fans. And you know, I just grew up an Everton fan because I think it was probably drummed into me from an early age. You know, I went and watched Everton because my dad, my mum, and my dad took me. Sorry, not my mum, my dad took me. My uncles all took me. But you know, once I got a little bit older, look, I realised Liverpool was a class team, a class club. You know, and I knew how good they were, so I didn't. It didn't affect me because, I mean, when I was younger, I had a chance to go and play for Everton. But, you know, I chose Liverpool and thankfully I've been proved right. So, you know, as much as I was an Everton fan growing up, you know, I quickly changed to become, a massive Liverpool fan. And, I've had a great career with Liverpool. And who knows what might have happened if I'd have signed for Everton. You know, I mightn't have had the career that I've had.
Today, is it half-half, blue and red, or is it bigger red part, or
it probably still half and half, you know, maybe a touch more Liverpool fans, to be fair. I know Liverpool have got a large foreign contingent of supporters, you know, and Everton have as well, but probably the city is well and truly divided. You know, it is half and half, and the amount of people I speak to, I mean, I just said to you before about my family, my mum's side were all Everton fans, my dad's side, other than my dad, were all Liverpool fans, and it's probably the same with every family. You know, you got brothers and sisters who will support Everton, and you know, and the other brothers and sisters will support Liverpool. So it's it makes for an interesting time come the time when Everton play Liverpool.
Who was your idol, favourite player when you were
still? Well, I had two
kid.
Actually. I mean, growing up, obviously, I was a big Everton fan, and you know, I loved Graeme Sharp, who was a big, tall number nine for Everton. Played for Scotland. I think he was a phenomenal player. I loved him. I mean, he's a totally different player than what I was. But I also loved a player called Trevor Stephen, who played for England, and he was just so skillful. And I loved the fact that he could beat men at will, you know, and I loved the fact that Graeme Sharp could score goals. So I think I've probably seen a little bit of myself in both of them players, and that is why I loved watching the two of them playing. And I think they had a great relationship on the pitch, and you know, I loved watching them. And you know what, I still see them now and again, you know, in Liverpool or, you know, travelling, and I still get a little bit in awe of them now when I see them. So it just goes to show you that, you know, I'm obviously, you know, I've played and, you know, had a good career myself, but you know, we still get an awe of seeing our heroes. So you know, it is a pleasure to see them.
I have to ask, as a Liverpool fan, what is worse, Everton or Manchester United?
you know what, it's a difficult one. I think as a Liverpool fan, I think it's probably a little bit of I mean, the rivalry between Manchester United and Liverpool is something else in football, and I think it's a healthy rivalry because I think that both clubs respect each other. You know, we won't admit this. You know, the fans won't admit this, but you know, we have a little bit of and maybe a little bit of jealousy, if you like, because obviously we've done well in the past, and you know, Manchester United have done well in the. In the recent past, if you like, and obviously there, so there's a little bit of a healthy jealousy, if you like, and but I mean, obviously the Everton Liverpool games. I'm obviously talking about growing up, and I think in the 80s when Everton Liverpool were by far the two best teams in the country, I think that was special. But it's probably gone more to Manchester United now, because them games seem to be bigger. You know, we want to emulate, if you like, you know, what they've achieved recently. And I think that little bit of jealousy shines through, I think, because we want what they've got. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's you know, in football you always want to you want to win stuff every year, and you know, Manchester United, their recent history has been brilliant.
They have more championships now.
Well, look, I think that's the sad thing in our part. You know, Liverpool, you know, haven't won it now for 25 years, and I remember Manchester United went 27 years without winning it. So, you know, we're almost at that 27 years ourselves. So hopefully we can, we can try and stop that and try and get that championship to maybe try and claw back what, you know, is probably our mantle as the best club in England.
Does it look good now, do you think? Do you think Liverpool have an opportunity to
be? Oh, yeah, look, I'm...
Do you like what you see with the club?
Yeah, look, I think this season's probably not been as good as what many people would have liked. But, you know, a lot of people are... Liverpool are fifth, you know, sixth at the minute in the league, and you know, I cannot remember, you know, a time when Liverpool have had a player on less than 10 goals, and I think that's testament to Brendan and the team that we're still as high up in the league or where we are, because we haven't had anyone to score goals. Now, if you think, you know, last season Daniel Sturridge, you know, was playing, Luis Suarez was playing, they scored many, many goals. This year, you know, Luis Suarez has gone. Daniel Sturridge has been injured for a large portion, so we've missed their goals. You know, and any club will tell you that it's a big, big loss. And you know, as much as you need other people to sort of try and weigh in and score goals and try and sort of get you the points, you need someone to score goals. You need someone to score goals, and that is probably the big, big thing with Liverpool at the minute. So hopefully that'll be righted in the summer, where you know we're hopefully going to see you know, a few players getting signed. I'm speaking purely from a fan point of view. You know, I want Liverpool to win everything, but I think there's got to be a big summer. You know, I think. I think Brendan's the right man. You know, I love him. I think he's a fantastic manager. Technically, tactically, I think he's very good. And probably more importantly, I think his man management skills are excellent. And you know, I honestly believe, you know, under Brendan's tuition, I think Liverpool will be a force again. It's probably this year is probably not as good, and we're probably a little bit quicker to where we are than what Brendan envisaged. But you know, I can see good days coming back to Liverpool.
But you can see also players leave Liverpool, like Suarez. I mean, it couldn't happen before when Liverpool was the club.
Well, look, I think you've got to remember is you know, a lot of the players who are leaving, you know, other than Steven, they're not really Liverpool lads, and they don't really understand what Liverpool means. It was different to me. You know, I always wanted to start Liverpool. Luis Suarez, look, I mean, he's a phenomenal player, and what you've got to say is I think he improved. He improved as a player playing for Liverpool. Now, obviously, he's South American, and you know, Barcelona, you know, Real Madrid, these are two magnificent clubs, and if you get a South American player, you know, playing in England, well, I mean, their aim is to eventually go and play for one of these clubs, and I mean, you couldn't stop him. I think he's a phenomenal player, but I certainly think Liverpool improved him as a player, and we're seeing that this year. You know, I think he's become much, much better, and thankfully that was because Liverpool. But look, in the ideal world, you know, you want to keep all these players at the club. You want your club to be the strongest, but look, we're in the real world now. You know, we do know that players maybe don't have that affiliation with clubs as what probably you know, the local players would have.
How do you feel as a Liverpool fan now when Steven Gerrard is leaving, a Liverpool lad?
Yeah.
And what is left, Mike Carragher, stopped playing that year.
Steven's probably the big one.
Yeah.
You know, we look at the history of Liverpool, and we've always had players that have come through the ranks and gone on and had good careers. You know, myself, Steve McManaman, Jamie Carragher, you know, Steven Gerrard's probably the last of the bunch who've gone on and had this unbelievable career. And look, I don't think anyone would stand in Steven's way. I think he's he's served his time, if you like. He's been a phenomenal player for Liverpool, and he deserves everything he gets. You know, I hope he goes over to America and he's a massive success, because he deserves to. I think he's a phenomenal lad, a phenomenal player, and look, surely it's a real sad day, you know, when he plays his last game. But this is football, you know. It happens in every club in the world, where you get, you know, club legends who sadly, you know, there comes a time when, you know, we all can't play forever to that level that we all want to. And look, it is sad, and you know, but you know, ideally you'd probably want Steven to finish his career in Liverpool. But you know, I take my hat off to him, because he Steven still harbours this thing of playing, and you know, he's not guaranteed a place, if you like, in Liverpool. You know, so he took up a new challenge, and you know, I admire him for that, because too many people now want to sit on the behind and collect a wage, and Steven could have done that, but I think he's got a little bit of pride in himself, whereas he wants to go and express himself that little bit more on the football pitch. So you know, I admire when people do that, probably more so in Steven's case, because of who he is and what he is and what he's achieved. Because look, I mean, let's be honest, I think if he wasn't going to, you know, the MLS, if he wasn't going to LA Galaxy, he could be anything he wants in Liverpool. I mean, he could run for the mayor of Liverpool, and he'd probably get in. But you know, I admire him so much for, you know, for wanting to play, because you know, you're a long time retired, and yeah, you know, he's still got this great ambition of playing for as long as he can, and yeah, take my hat off to him.
History and tradition is so important in Liverpool. Can you see any new Liverpool lad like you, like Carragher, like Gerrard, coming up now?
Yeah, look, I think there's in the academy, I mean, some very, very good players. But the level you get from the academy to the first team level, I mean, it's so different. So I think younger players find it a little bit more difficult now to sort of maybe get in and stay in. But saying that, I think the academy under Alex Inglethorpe and you know, a few of the coaches, I think they're brilliant. I think some of the players are excellent. Now, you know, a few of them have made a debut this year. Young Jordan Rosses, who's a brilliant player. You know, you've got Cameron Brannigan, who's been on the bench for probably the past 6-7 games. You know, there's other players. You know, Jordan Ibes, he's coming. He's so, you know, the future for Liverpool looks good, I think. But it's not easy for kids to get it now. I think it's probably more difficult. I think it's a chance that you know, for many kids, when they see the likes of, you know, myself and Steve and, you know, Jamie, Steve McManaman. I think Liverpool's got a recent history, if you like, of bringing players through, and you know, I don't see why it should stop. I think there is a few players, but you know, without putting too much pressure on them, you know. And I think in this day and age with the social media, I think everyone knows what players are like, whereas when we were growing up, no one knew what we were like. So we were sort of you're coming up on the blind side, if you like. But players now, everyone knows about them already before they've made the debut. So yeah, there's potentially some very good players going to come through, but you know, it's a lot harder than what it used to be.
How did it look for you when you came into to Liverpool? You started to play in Liverpool when you were 8 or 9 years old.
Yes,
when you wrote your first, signed your first
contract,
yeah. You were 17, huh?
17, yeah. Well, I mean, as I said before, I mean, I left school and I had this 1 year apprenticeship and then a 3 year professional contract. So I always knew I was going to be the pro. But look, it still doesn't mean that you're going to be a football player. You know, it means that you've probably got maybe a little bit more of a chance. But you still need to work hard. And I think signing that contract, you know, I mean, you asked a question before, when did you think you'd made it? And I think even when I signed that contract, you know, I still didn't think I'd made it. I think that's a testament to Liverpool and the boot room, you know, at Liverpool and the staff that we had, because I don't think you can afford to get big-headed. I think you're always asked to work that little bit harder, you know, to become a football player. So I don't think you ever took anything for granted. You knew that you had to work, you know, even if you were a professional, you know, nothing was guaranteed.
How did it look when you came up to the first team? I mean, Ian Rush was there.
Yeah.
A while, but talk about the Liverpool legend, yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I was probably, I was lucky because, you know, towards, well, I mean, at the start of my career, you know, a lot of the proper Liverpool players were coming towards the end of there. So I was lucky enough to play with the likes of, you know, John Barnes, you know, Jan Mulby, Ian Rush, Steve Nicol, Ronnie Whelan, and these are all great players. So I was, you can imagine me, a little skinny, spotty kid, you know, training with the likes of these players, and it was special. You know, my development and my learning from an early age, playing and training with these players was brilliant, because these were players who've played at the pinnacle. You know, they've won everything that the game's got to offer, and you know, thankfully I managed to play with them. You know, there's some unbelievable Liverpool players of the past, and if you probably sat one person down and spoke about, you know, Liverpool legends of the past, if you like, and you know, I can say I probably played with most of them. So it's brilliant.
What did you learn from them, and was it a different atmosphere, you know, with the old players compared to nowadays?
Well, you learn all the time, and I mean, for example, I mean, I was a forward like Ian Rush, and Ian Rush was brilliant for me. He used to take me aside and little silly things, and I mean, it sounds stupid, but how to run, you know, where to run. When you say how to run, you know, I don't mean, you know, keep your back up straight and, you know, you're running a straight line. It's like about bending your runs to get away from the defender, you know, to beat the offside trap, you know, how to run in terms of where the ball's going to be. And I learned so much of Ian Rush, not by talking to him, you know, as well, but also by watching him, because I think if you watch him, I think you can see what a class player he is. And you know, I mentioned Ian Rush there, but you know, John Barnes, look, he's an unbelievable player as well. And you know, I was lucky enough to train with him, and obviously he was getting a little bit older when I was obviously playing with him, but you could still see, you know, what a good player. You know, these players were John Barnes, Jan Mulby, Steve Nicol, Ronnie Whelan. It was brilliant. You know, I loved it, you know, every minute. And, you know, without sounding silly, if you like, you know, I was learning stuff every single day. You know, how to be a player, you know, how to be a person, if you like, because these are the players who've won and achieved everything in life. And then you know, all of a sudden this little kid was playing and training with them, and you know, thankfully they looked after me.
Making a Liverpool debut, how was that? I mean, as a Liverpool lad coming in and play for the first team in Liverpool, what do you remember from that day and that game?
Everything, you know. Yeah. I'd been in around the squad for a long time before I made my debut, and we got beat on the Saturday against Everton, and I was the 18th man or 17th man, if you like, and and then, you know, we lost 2-0, and there was always going to be a few changes to the next game. It was obviously a cup game against Fulham. And, you know, I remember going down the train and thinking, you know, I'm in the squad, you know, absolute delighted just to be in the squad. And, you know, we get to the ground, yeah, you know, and all the kits are out. And obviously Graeme Souness, who was the manager, you know, reads the team out. You know, you got John Barnes, Jan Mulby, you know, Nigel Clough, Ian Rush, and then obviously Robbie Fowler. So I was a bit taken aback because, you know, I'd been in the squad, but, you know, I wasn't expecting it. But, you know, I will always be grateful to Graeme Souness for giving me that chance, and you know, thankfully I took it with both hands. And yeah, I can remember very, very clearly. You know, I remember everything about the game. You know, you know, we won 3-1. I scored, you know, set up two goals. So you know, thankfully I got off to a real decent start in my Liverpool career.
Yeah, you had a fantastic start. And 93-94, you scored 18 goals in 34 games.
Yes, I was never really big on stats. I mean, I went into every game wanting to score every game, and I never really kept them. I just wanted to score all the time. So I think if you probably sat me down and spoke about goals, I could probably remember most of them. But I never sort of kept tabs on how many I'd scored. And I mean, I hope that doesn't sound ridiculous, but I went out into every game. You know, I was always confident, you know, I could score goals. I think it helps when you're playing in decent teams. I think when you've got players around you who sort of make it easy for you, if you like. And, you know, I was brought up with good players who put on good chances for me. So, I mean, that's not to say that, you know, if you put chances on, you've still got to score them. So you still need to do what you've got to do. But, thankfully, I started off really well at Liverpool. Other than obviously my goals, I also broke my leg, you know, very early in my Liverpool career as well. So that was a little bit of a sickening blow as well. So who knows? Maybe you could have had more goals. So maybe.
You remember all your goals? You scored in the papers. I said 128 league goals for Liverpool. Do you remember all of
it? I would probably remember most of them. Yeah. Look, I mean, I couldn't sit here and explain them all. But if you sort of tell me the game, or you know, tell me, yeah, a little bit about the game, I could probably remember them. It's maybe that's another little gift I've got. You know, it's I can. Yeah, look, I love scoring goals, and if you think back to when you were a kid, you know, we always remember those. Those happy times in our lives, don't we? And that's the same with me in football. You know, when I'm scoring goals, I'm happy. I can probably recount most of them.
When did you feel that you were the number one striker in Liverpool? Ian Rush was at the end of his career.
I never ever thought of it like that. You know, I always obviously wanted to play. I always wanted to do well, and I never ever see myself as being the man. You know, I always wanted to play, I always wanted to score goals, I always wanted to be part of a team. So, you know, I was never sort of interested in the, you know, the self-accolades. And that's probably, it's probably the growing up in Liverpool. It's probably the understanding I had with, you know, my teammates. It's probably the understanding, you know, Liverpool boot room. I don't think they allowed you to be self-egotistical, if you like. It was always about the team. The team always comes first. And everyone who tells you different, I think, I'm probably liars, because, let's be honest, I think we all do enjoy the self-accolades and, all the goals. But, predominantly you're playing in a team with 10 other players, and, without them, you're nothing. You know, you can't do everything on your own. The Messis or Ronaldos, they still need good players around them to, you know, they're probably a little bit better than the most. But you need people around you. You need people around you to show you the values. And you know, look, it is all about the team. And I was never ever happy with self-righteousness, if you like. You know, it was all about the team.
And you had a great partnership with Stan Collymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, look, this probably surprises a lot of people. I mean, I get asked this a lot, and I think Stan Collymore was probably my best partnership in football. We scored many goals together. You know, we had a great understanding on the pitch. But, you know, Stan Collymore, you know, he's... I think he could have been any player he wanted to be. You know, he was that good of a player. I mean, I spoke before, excuse me, I spoke before about, you know, learning so much of Ian Rush, and thankfully I had a great education learning off him. But my partnership with Stan, in terms of the goals we scored and, you know, the games we played together, was excellent.
And you were also, you still are, a great friend of Steve McManaman.
Yes,
how did you feel when he left Liverpool? How was it for you? How was your best friend?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I think with Steve, he spoke to the club, you know, months and months in advance that he was going to leave. Obviously, I was sad because he was a great player, you know, not because he was my friend, you know. And we spoke before about Luis Suarez and, you know, good players eventually, you know, might want to leave. And Steve was the same. He had a great career at Liverpool, scored many goals, you know, and assisted many, many more goals. But he felt at the time, you know, he needed to have a little bit of a change and, you know, in his career. And I think he probably doesn't get the accolades he deserves, actually, Steve, because he's probably the most successful English player to have played abroad, and that is one hell of an accolade. That is one hell of an achievement. And you know, to this day we're still big mates. And I was obviously sad to see him go, but I was absolutely delighted to see him do well and win these Champions League and you know, win all the trophies he did at Madrid, because I mean, Madrid is a special club, isn't it? So yeah, you're sad to see him go, but you know, he's my mate, and you know, I want him to do well, and you know, thankfully he did.
Rumors were that you were supposed to go to Juventus during that time, with Spain and Italy. And how tempted were you during that time to leave Liverpool to try to play?
Yeah, no. Look, I mean, I was always happy at Liverpool, and you know, I was linked with a lot of clubs. You know, a lot of English clubs tried to sign me. You know, a few foreign clubs tried to sign me, but I just felt the Premier League was the league for me. You know, I was a homegrown lad, wanted to stay there, you know, wanted to stay home. And it didn't really appeal to me. You know, I felt I was playing for the best club in the world. You know, I didn't really need to go anywhere else. A lot of people are different, you know, see it different than what I did. You know, but, you know, I was proved right, because, you know, I had a good career, and you know, I wouldn't change anything. You know, this is me. You know, what you see is what you get. You know, I was always loyal, I was always honest. And, you know, I did have a chance to leave Liverpool. And, you know, I was just always happy there.
Can you feel what Steven Gerrard felt, 8-10 years ago when Chelsea was close to sign him? Did you feel the same? Did you understood what he felt and what came?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I think, look, any player will tell you, I mean, there's going to be times when, you know, your head does get turned and maybe you think, ooh, well, maybe I can go. But, you know, obviously you see a little bit of sense, and, you know, and thankfully, my decision was to remain at Liverpool, and, you know, and I was proved right. And I think Steven, the career Steven's at Liverpool, I think he's been proved right. You know, he would have loved to have won the Premier League. You know, we all would have loved to have won the Premier League, but you know, but in terms of you know, other trophies and other games and other special achievements, you know, maybe he wouldn't have got that elsewhere. Maybe I wouldn't have got it elsewhere. So the decisions have been proved right. Yeah.
Because there is one moment in the career when you're on that. I mean, you can, yeah. Then you get older, and of course, but there is when you can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand what you mean. But you know, obviously, when I got older and I left Liverpool, I mean, that was my choice. That was my decision at the time. So yeah, who knows what might have happened? But certainly, when I was younger, you know, I never wanted to leave Liverpool. That was the big thing. And the fact is that Liverpool wanted me. You know, I wanted to be there. Then it makes an easy decision. You know, if a club doesn't want you, if a club tells you, you know, we've got, you know, other clubs, you know, trying to buy you, then you know, you can go and speak to them. Well, that tells you the club doesn't want you. So you know, the club wanted me. So I mean, my decision was easy.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And then you told me about you had broke your leg early, and then knee injuries, and injuries came to you more frequently.
Well, look, I think, I was probably unfortunate. I think you probably get lucky players who go through the career and not have any injuries. But, I mean, I've probably had everything that, you know, a footballer doesn't want. You know, broke my leg, you know, ankle operations, knee operations. Yeah. Two hip operations, you know, my left hip, right hip, and these are big operations. So, you know, I played for as long as I could, but obviously, when you get a little bit older, you know, you probably start feeling it a little bit more. You know, the injuries probably take the toll, and you know, you get aches and pains and little niggles all the time, and that's the side of the sport that you don't enjoy. You know, when you get a little bit older, it gets harder because of all the injuries, you know, and I probably had, you know, more than most. And but look, it is what it is, you know. There's you know, it's just probably unluck at times, but it's football, isn't it? You know, I think there's few players who will go through the career without injuries, and you know, I probably had my first year.
You had the injuries, and at the same time Michael Owen and Emil Heskey came in and started to have a good partnership.
I think, I mean, obviously their partnership was excellent, and you know, nothing to do with injuries and all that. I think when you've got a good club, you know, you're always going to get good players coming in. You know, you're always going to get players fighting for positions, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, clubs bringing in, you know, 3-4 good players and, you know, fighting for one position, because maybe it's obviously a little bit harder for you to get in a team, but I think if you back yourself and, you know, and your confidence, you do everything right, and you try your utmost to get in that team, then you know, that's what you've got to do. So I was never bothered about, you know, any players coming to the club, because I always felt, you know, I'm a Liverpool player, I want Liverpool to do well. You know, the more class players we have, you know, the more chance we've got of winning trophies. So look, you know, granted, we all want to play. You know, we all want to be in that starting 11. But you know, ultimately, you know, as a player, you know, I want to win trophies. So I was happy. You know, I was happy when all these players were coming in. I was happy when they were doing well. I was happy when they were scoring goals. You know, I'm not happy when I'm not playing. You know, I fell out with managers. But look, that's me being me. You know, I think any player who is happy about not playing, well, then you shouldn't be playing the game. You know, you're in the wrong job. You know, you go and find something else, because I was absolutely distraught when I never played. You know, you work hard all week to play on a Saturday, to play on a Sunday, and when your name's not down, then you just have to work that little bit harder.
You had 20 years. You did your first team debut for Liverpool in 1992. You finished playing in 2012, 20 years. We can't go through every season, but your best memories from those 20 years.
Well, look, I think this is an easy answer. The best memory was the 2001 season, where we won, you know, we won the 3 cups. You know, in the calendar year, we won the 5 trophies. So the FA Cup, the League Cup, UEFA Cup, the Super Cup, and the Charity Shield. Looking. Every cup competition that we entered that year, or every cup game, we won. So
you were the captain as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I mean, it was a special time, and you know, we ended up, we needed to beat Charlton the last game of the season to qualify for the Champions League. So we'd won all these trophies, and then we needed to beat Charlton the last game of the season to qualify for the Champions League. And you know, the first half it was 0-0, and we were poor. Second half we turned on the style and ended up winning 4-0. So that game capped off an unbelievable season. So the easy answer is 2001. As a player, you know, you want to win trophies, you want to qualify for the Champions League, you know, you want to do all these things, and we done everything possibly we could yeah. other than win the league. So I mean, that season was fantastic.
I have to ask you as well. You left Liverpool in 2001. You came back 2006,
yeah.
and you said it was like a kid in Christmas. And come back to your club.
Well, look, I think I asked. This is probably in terms of 2001 season. In terms of what I achieved during football, what we won. I mean, not in better start, but coming back to Liverpool in 2006. Nothing will ever beat that, you know. Probably not blasé is probably the wrong word, but you know, I grew up in Liverpool. I never knew nothing different. So you know, when you go to other clubs, you don't. So when you're at Liverpool young, you don't realise how big Liverpool is. But when you sign for other clubs, you realise how big and how special and what a place Liverpool is. What a place, you know, the club is. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was away from Liverpool for 5 years, and getting a chance to go back, I was going home. You know, that was me going back to where I always wanted to be, where I belong, and everything was easy then for me. You know, it was I appreciated it more because I was getting back to where I wanted to be, and nothing comes close to that. You know, I spoke before about, you know, the trophies I've won, and that 2001 season was special, but re-signing for Liverpool doesn't get any better. It's not get any better than that.
The best player you played with?
There's been a few, actually. Look, I mean, as I spoke before, Liverpool, you know, I've been lucky and blessed to. The Liverpool fans are, you know, blessed to see so many great players. You know, Ian Rush, John Barnes, Ronnie Whelan, all the names I mentioned before. But, you know, the big players for me, certainly Steve McManaman. Steve McManaman was brilliant, and I don't think people realised how good he was. I think he was an unbelievable, talented player. I loved playing with him. We had a great understanding. But the more I think about this, you know, the more I come up with Steven Gerrard as the player. You know, and I always said Steve McManaman, but probably Steven Gerrard's probably the greatest player. And look, you think of the history of Liverpool, and you know, obviously King Kenny, mm-hmm. Kenny Dalglish is.
He was your mentor as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's. King Kenny is the greatest, possibly the greatest player in many Liverpool supporters' eyes. But I think Stephen runs him close, and certainly, you know, I've been lucky enough and blessed to have played with him.
The best you played against?
I could probably give you the same answer. I think, look, because I'm obviously playing for Man City, Steven Gerrard was brilliant. You know, I loved playing with him, but you know, when you're playing against him, you know how good of a player he is. But probably non-Liverpool players, you know, Paul Scholes was brilliant. You know, Ryan Giggs was very good. I think Scholes, Beckham was brilliant. All Manchester United players, and Manchester United were a good team with great players. So I think, you know, you could probably take your pick. Roy Keane was exceptional. Yap Stam, great player, tough player. Steve Bruce, Gary Pallister, you know, tough pairings, both quality centre halves who played well as a team. So there's many great players, but you know, I'd probably put Steven Gerrard on the top of that list as well.
The best manager, or the manager that meant most to you?
Look, again, I mean, I could probably sit here all day. You know, Graeme Souness, a lot of time for him, give him a chance. Gerard Houllier, regardless of what people think, you know, me and him alike, you know, we had many good times. I think he was an excellent manager. Rafa Benitez, you know, I'll always be in his debt, if you like, for giving me the chance to go back to Liverpool. But certainly the best manager I played under was Roy Evans. I think His Liverpool teams were brilliant. You know, sadly we never won the league, but you know, we were a very good team.
Gerard Houllier, you didn't mention him.
No, I did. I said Gerard. Okay. I think Gerard was. I think he was an excellent manager. You know, tactically. You know, he was very similar to Rafa Benitez. Obviously, I fell out with him. You know, I fell out with Rafa Benitez. I fell out with Roy Evans. You know, Gerrard was a great, great manager, and someone who we still see now. A lot of people think that we didn't see eye to eye, but that goes to what I was saying before. when I'm not playing. You know, I'm horrible. You know, I'm not going to be the nicest man. And look, if you're happy about not playing and being dropped, and look, you're in the wrong game. So yeah, I was horrible when I went playing, and more often than not, I was not playing under Gerrard. So, but look, he was a great manager.
And what do you think about England manager Roy Hodgson? We like to think he's Swedish because he speaks Swedish, and I like to interview him in Swedish as well. When, what do you think about the England team and the success? Yeah, coming.
I think we were disappointed in the World Cup, if I'm being honest. But you think of the qualification groups now, and I think England have been very good in the. In the group games, I think, look, on paper, I think England should be beating these teams anyway. But, you know, Roy Hodgson will get a little bit of stick because it'll come to the major tournaments, and that is probably when we probably expect a little bit more. You know, the qualification group at England are in now, they should be winning every game. And they have won every game. They've won them handsomely, and, you know, they played the last games, you know, away to Italy, they played very well. You know, he's bringing in younger players, so... So far, I think he's doing well, but the big call for Roy is, you know, how we do in major tournaments. You know, we as an England team, we probably expect, you know, a little bit too much at times. But look, you know, you can't argue with his record so far, certainly in the qualifications, because you know, he's doing an excellent job.
Because you're in Sweden, you're in Zlatan Ibrahimovic country. What do you think about Zlatan and his off the pitch and off the pitch. And now he pissed off the French
Slatan, I think, yeah. I mean, he speaks very honest, doesn't he? And look, I mean, you can't deny the fact he is an unbelievable talented player. You know, he's probably got you know, probably more talent than probably what many players have got. I don't really see much of him, you know, certainly from a club level, but you know, I mean, I always think back to Sweden. He does an excellent job, you know, when England come over here a couple of years ago and Sweden, and he scored an unbelievable goal. You know, not many people could score a goal like that. So he is an unbelievable player, isn't he? Maybe he probably speaks a little bit too much at times, but look, Slatan, he can do what he wants, can't he? Yeah.
So, what is Robbie Fowler doing today? You have a coaching licence,
yes,
I know?
Yes, I've got my licence. Yeah. And, you know, my ultimate goal and aim is to be a manager. You know, I was over in Thailand as a player-manager, and I loved it. But I love football, and certainly coaching and managing is the next step. So... you know, if any manager jobs comes up in Sweden, you must tell me about them. I'll put my name down, because you know, I want to get back into the football side of things.
So Roy Hodgson started here, Bob Houghton started here, so
maybe I can start here. So the football over here is good, isn't it? So my aim is to get into football as a manager. You know, who knows where that'll take me, but you know, I want to do it, so we'll see.
Hi, business comes to footballer today. How is you on the business side? So you know, you.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've obviously done all right, and you know, probably not as good as what you know many people think. You know, I think you know, I've always been very quiet and relaxed off the pitch, and you know, people tend to say I've got a little bit more than what I have got, but you know, I like it that way, because you know, I mean, it proves I'm quiet off the pitch. You know, I keep myself to myself, and I think I'll always be like that. You know, I think what I'll always do, I'll keep a hush hush, and you know, I like to be recognised more for, you know, for football and for football and abilities, and you know, what I do on the football side of things as opposed to what I do off it.
Before we go and meet the Swedish Liverpool supporters, is there something I forgot to ask about? You think that I should mention? Or
no, I'll be honest with you. I think you probably covered everything, haven't you?
It's a long career. We couldn't take every game and every goal. But is there something that I should have that I missed?
Well, no. Off the top of my head, I think you probably have covered everything. I think you're spot on. I think we would be here an awful long time. I think probably the listeners would probably get a little bit fed up with me if we were talking about everything. But yeah, keep it short and sweet, and that way I can always come back. I always come back. So if I say everything, people will get fed up at me. So next time we'll speak more.
Thank you, Robbie Fowler. Thank you.
Very much.
för att du lyssnade. Vill du komma i kontakt med mig så går det utmärkt på Twitter, Niklas_Holmgren, eller Facebook-sidan Holmgren möter, alternativt hemsidan niklasholmgren.nu. Ha det så gott så länge. Hej hej.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.